Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
Yeah. All right, it turns out the fans need to know the most important update. Everyone's been waiting to find out. How is Sarah's work wardrobe coming?
I wish that I could say that I have, like, a whole bunch of golf pants right now and a blazer or two, but I just haven't gotten my act together. So I'm so sorry. Right now I am stuck in a room at the hospital. They don't let me see people yet. So thankfully it doesn't matter, but like, I'm going to have to upgrade that stuff by the time I'm doing assessments with actual patients. So
when does this start?
I don't know. Hopefully in the next few weeks, but stay posted for some wardrobe selection. Okay. To be fair, like two pairs of non sweatpants.
You have two pairs of non
khakis. Khakis.
Yeah, like a pair of black pants and a pair of khakis, and they're getting heavy use. We'll put it that way.
She doesn't even have styles. They're just non sweatpants.
Exactly.
Okay. Can you? Are you allowed to wear fancy sweatpants at the hospital? You know, like, because I have some fancy sweatpants.
You mean like the ones that say juicy on your butt?
No. Oh my God.
Baby got back or anything like that. You know?
No, I'm talking about, you know, rich people with like the fancy women who like stay home all day sweatpants, you know,
like yoga pants.
Oh my God, this is like such an East Coast, West Coast conversation, guys. Out here, there's such a thing as fancy sweatpants, okay? And they clearly, you like look at them and you're like, oh yeah, that woman, those sweatpants cost like $100. And you can tell they're fancy sweatpants. Anyway, I have a pair of fancy sweatpants that 100% pass for like pants.
You maybe have matching jackets?
No, no, there is. They don't say anything on them, guys.
No rhinestones, I take it.
I feel like I'm explaining the concept of athleisure wear to like all East Coast people who are like, wait, what? We'll wait for an update eagerly on this. I'm going to introduce you to the concept of fancy sweatpants, okay?
No, I can't wear fancy sweatpants to work. Basically, like, I think the wardrobe choice is like button downs and like loafers. I feel like I'm not saying that that's the route I'm going, but I've seen a lot of button downs and loafers.
I don't think I've seen a pair of loafers. Yeah, I was like, I don't think I've seen a pair of loafers in like 15 years.
They're coming back.
They're coming back.
Are you going to put the little penny in yours too? Put the little penny in.
Penny loafers.
I'm putting a quarter in.
All right.
All right, here's my other question for Sarah, though. Have you not had time because you've been sick from Singapore? I've been waiting to find out about this because everyone was sick after Singapore.
Who got sick? I have no idea.
Like, all the men who raced 70.3 Worlds this past weekend all were sick. Like, if you go through Instagram and you, like, look at everyone who said they were sick.
Men are babies. They cry too much. They cry too much. That doesn't count.
It was probably the men. But no, if you go through, you're like, who had stomach bugs? It was all these people from Singapore.
It's probably because they didn't try the local food. And because Sarah did try the local food, she then became immune to the local stomach bugs.
There you go. So what's interesting is, did any of the women?
I want to say one or two of them messaged me and were like, you should, is everyone sick? But I only think it was like, I've only heard of one woman being sick.
Okay.
Because so.
maybe if it was a water quality thing. Mm. Although they were really strict about the water quality standards. So
that's what I told one of the women. I was like, well, yeah. Sarah said they were really strict about water quality standards.
Super cool. So. Yeah. Super strict. Yeah. But
yeah, maybe they just didn't eat the right food.
Yeah. They needed to eat more street food.
All right. Coming up today, Khadija is going to tell us about her craziest penalty ever. Also, apparently she's now a track state champion. And then we're going to break down 70.3 and Nice coming up.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored heel to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code RIDING, as in if we were riding, at aminoco.com/riding. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's Aminoco, AminoCo.com/writing, and use the code writing at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right, Khadija, just before we got on, Jocelyn dropped this bomb. You're now a track state champion?
Like double state champion.
Yes. To be fair, there are only four women in my age group.
That is more than one, Khadijah. You beat people. Yeah, what's the saying?
You can only beat who shows up, man. You scared them all off.
My friend Yulene, she runs masters for USAT. And she said, come on out. We're having state track and field championships. And she's one of my best friends. So I showed up. And she put me in the 5K, the 3K, and I had to run an 800 in a relay. But what I was most happy about is I got a little bit of speed left in these old legs. I ran a 236, nice. 800.
You ran a 236? Wow. Shit.
Okay, now my heart was, I had to like shove it back in my chest. But yeah, I was really surprised.
That's really impressive.
Surprised.
Yeah. That's
moving. I couldn't go another step though. I was toasted. But
maybe
yeah.
You should have been the 800 too, from the sound of it.
Like, yeah, that's what she was saying. She's like, you should have done the 800 and the 1500. So
oh my God. You could do all of them next year.
Yeah, I might do a couple, do the 800 and the 1500 next year. But I had a ball. I love track. I ran track as a child, and I was the one on the track team that kept the GPA up in college because I definitely wasn't the fastest on the team. I straight A's though.
Did you guys watch the track and field world championships?
Yes.
Some, yeah.
A little bit.
Clips on Instagram.
Exactly. I was really interested in Hassan Safwan because she's just got guts. She's like, you know what? I might not win them all, but I'm going to try to go for it. And she's got such great sportsmanship. So I loved watching her.
Yeah. Faith, though, won
the 15
and the 5K, which was like crazy. I think that's the first time anyone's done that, like in this world champion.
It's like an odd double.
Yeah, it might be.
It was crazy.
She's got an amazing range. Both of them do.
The drop batons, the DQs.
Oh, and the four bar. I was happy though. I mean, because obviously, you know, pro America over here. And they swept the 4x1. It was like the four, and then like the men and the women swept, and then they were all like jumping around each other in a big pile. Like I couldn't figure out who everybody was in that pile. And then I realized like all the men and women were running out in this pile on the track. It was very cute.
That is really cute. Yeah.
It was really exciting. So, and it was great to see Shikari.
Yeah, she's really got her head together now. It's you can tell by the things that come out of her mouth. Gratitude is her superpower.
It's pretty crazy how young she still is. I like forget how young she was when she got that doping offense.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's why it was like you felt for her because she like smoked some pot after what was it? Her mom was in the hospital.
Her mom died.
And she was
her
like,
mom died. Yeah.
I can't remember if she had died right before or right after. And yeah, she was like 20 and you're like, dude, this is, you know, a 20-year-old going through some terrible stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it just so much credit to her, like how resilient she was to bounce back and be, you know, now she's world champion. And like, that would be at 20 going through that and having so many people kind of publicly scrutinize everything you're doing. And they were so critical of the poor girl. I mean, 20 year, you're still a girl in my book. But like, she just, you know, she's really matured and so much fun to watch somebody's career like that. Going into the games, like, yeah, I'm excited for somebody like that.
You're excited? I also, maybe you guys already discovered, since, you know, we all just watched it via Instagram, because you could watch it entirely on Instagram. Have you watched, there's this woman who does interviews with them behind.
Oh, yeah. She's hilarious.
Yeah. Called Real Talk with T. And she, like, used to be a track runner, so she knows all of them. And so they're, like, a lot of times she's the only one they'll come and talk to, like, when they, and they're, like, the best interview. So anyway, she was the only one Shikari talked to after Nationals, and she had all of them, and it was very, anyway, you should go and Google these. Yeah. Or whatever
they say, cuss words and everything. It's great.
Is it Tiana? Was it Barta?
No, it's Tiana Williams.
Tiana Williams. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, but they're really funny, and this is my new favorite interviewer, Real Talk with T.
I like her too.
Yeah. So that's what we're gonna have to do in Kona, is we're gonna have to, you know, get everyone to dance with us or whatever.
The fun interviews.
Fun, exactly. We also have, though, before Kona, guys, we have Nice next week. So next week, I'm headed to Nice. Khadija's apparently headed to another 8-mile swim or something. I don't know. She's doing something crazy. But Nice, guys. Are we excited for Nice? Are we ambivalent about Nice? I can't decide. What do we think?
I'm terrified. Like, no, dead serious.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it this way. But so when I was in Singapore, I sat down with Dave McNamee, who he's been on the podium at Kona, and we were just talking about Nice. He's like, you know what? I went over, checked out the course, was there for a few days, realized somebody's going to die.
And oh, I decided, no.
Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, no one died when 70.3 Worlds was there. And I thought that. Like, I wrote it a couple days before 70.3 Worlds. When we were like in 2019, and I was like, oh my God, someone's gonna die, and no one did. So
not in that race, but I guess somebody else, other people have died in that hot corner.
Full Iron Man. Interesting.
Yeah.
Like Iron Man France, you mean?
Yeah, like full Iron Man that's in July. Or
there's gonna be that one amateur that swears they have the bike handling skills of a pro and it's going to do something crazy, and unfortunately you can't. I mean, everybody has ego, but some people just have ego out of control.
It is a really, like, when I wrote, like, okay, so the course is like half, it's the 70.3 course if you've done 70.3 there, plus like a whole nother climb and across. So I did the 70.3 half when we were there, like I wrote it, and it is just like very European, right? If you've ever ridden like European roads, it's like very twisty descent through like little, like cars pull out suddenly in like the little town. There's like no, like it will be closed, but there's no way to shut down like every one of those random houses up on the side of a hill, right?
And no guardrails.
And no guardrails. Well, then like one of the times, like the only bad accident at 70.3 Worlds was somebody crashed into a guardrail. But yeah, there are no guardrails largely. It's really steep.
Yeah, if you go over, if you go over, it's bad news.
So I guess if there's no guardrails, you can't put hay bales.
No, they put them like around the roundabouts, like when you're going through the little towns, they put them out.
Yeah,
but I was quite worried about that last time, and it wasn't as bad. But I do think, obviously, I mean, the pros will go super fast, and some people will probably get sucked into going faster than they should. Yeah.
So part of it is that, I mean, Dave specifically has like pins in his wrist because he crashed really badly a long time ago, like just wrist surgery. But I don't think that an athlete, a pro athlete, should be thinking, in order to race at that level, do I need to take unnecessary risks? And I know it's part of cycling, but triathlon, you know, what's great about like Kona or, you know, 70.3 world champs this time around, there are no real unnecessary risks that need to be made to, other than like the heat in Kona, to win.
Right. Yeah. You're like, I'm just laughing because you're saying that. And then of course you did hospitalize yourself or whatever.
Yeah. But not in terms of like, okay, I need, you know, to really push the limits in terms of bike handling. Yeah.
The like going off of the, like the whole idea of like controlled risk and controlled danger, right? And all these things, it's like fascinating because like, obviously we know we're signing up for something that has a certain amount of risk, but we also like, but if it's beyond that, we get like really outraged, right? We're like, no, because we expect like a certain amount of controls and safety and like standards to be met. And I'm only thinking about this. So there was this whole, and I think Jocelyn knows it, but there was this big Tough Mudder race out here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's made national news and stuff now that had like hundreds of people came down with a bacterial infection. And it turns out it was just like bacteria in the dirt. There's really nothing that could have been done about it. It's just a risk of doing a race in like muddy water with people. But this is, I had to explain this a bunch. I wrote a thing about it. I'd explain to people who don't do these things and like don't understand. And they were all like, well, why would you do that? And I was like, well, you can get a staph infection at a nail salon and that has no upside. So I would never go to a nail salon. If I'm going to get a staph infection, I'd rather get it swimming.
Yeah. Why would you shave off your eyebrows and paint on new ones?
Right. Like they're like, I went down this whole hole of like, you know, what is your expectation of risk? Like, and trying to explain it to somebody who doesn't do these things, they're like, they don't understand it at all. You know?
Yeah, nobody's forcing people to compete. And like somebody like Dave has decided not to compete at a world champs, you know, because he doesn't want to take that risk. Yeah. Overall, I'm excited because new location, world champs, always good. You know, I think it's going to be a really fantastic race, but there's part of me that's like, things could go wrong.
Oh, definitely. I think probably everybody's like holding their breath a little bit.
Yeah.
For that, for sure. Anyway, I'm headed out. I rented a bike so that I can go and check it out, you know, nice. On my own. So I can, you know, report back.
You should
back.
Wear your helmet.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of the deal. Good advice, Jocelyn. So yeah, I don't know. If anybody has any tips about Nice, I'm always like, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be one of those things where you guys yell at Kelly for hating on things. I don't really get France. Like, I don't understand why everybody's into France that much.
French people are, our French listeners are so mad at you already. I've raced at Embraman, part of the Alpe d'Huez triathlon, and like it's in the French Alps, so
yeah,
everything's like mountainous and narrow and twisty. And but you know what, Kelly, they have great croissants there.
See, maybe that's my whole problem. You know one thing I'm excited about in France though, it's the UTMB. That is the one thing I do really want to do.
Why? I mean, I get it, but also, like, there are other races you can do in the U.S. and not have to go to France.
True, but trail running, there are a lot of things I think Europeans do that are stupid. I think they do trail running right. I appreciate that they do, like, huge, like, it's a real big crowd thing.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Good. We can agree on this.
Track and field's more exciting in Europe too. They get into it. Track meets there are like, yeah, they're the bomb. Here it's kind of like, I mean, it's fun to run, but crowds are totally different. And they understand track etiquette. Here, everybody just kind of, you know.
You're saying that the Georgia State Championships did not have crowds. A sold out stadium?
No. It was not sold out. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're all Sid Talks, recapping 70.3 Worlds. And then we'll talk about, you know, our own thoughts on 70.3 Worlds. All right, this week we're going to keep it short, Sid. It's a short Sid Talks.
We always say that. And then it's like 40 minutes later. Anyway, I need to shut up because it's going to be short.
Yeah, Five minutes. That's, we're just going to focus. Stop. 70.3 Worlds, that is the focus. So did you watched it? I take it it was like,
I tried to watch it and I made it till about, because obviously it started at 10 p.m we're in Boulder, but obviously the women's race was delayed by an hour, so the coverage started at 10, the race was going to be 10:30, there's half an hour delay, so it was 11. So I made it till about maybe midnight, just after midnight on the women's, and I made it till about 1 o'clock in the men's, and then bailed because I was like, actually you have to get up and train in the morning, and you can come back and watch it. But I kind of wanted to watch it, but I did see, I was more obviously biased, more invested in the women's race.
Sure.
Just with you, well, you know, we can talk about the women's
with
racing.
all the women. I will say, I think because of all the tech issues that they had with the stream, they did make it free for everyone on the replay, because usually it's not. You have to watch it live, which is the whole hard thing about triathlon. But now you can go back and watch it on YouTube if you want to. So I've gone back and watched some of it. Anyway.
I watched the women through outside and then the men on YouTube. And I know they got a lot of stick. I actually had no issues with the broadcast from what I was watching. But anyway, time, panic.
But I've seen the women's rate or the bits, and it was, in the one hand, it was exactly how we said it was going to go. And on the other hand, obviously quite good. I think partially because men's Nice is in 2 weeks, with the women's race was a lot more stacked. Like, you just had a lot bigger names. And Taylor Nib just runs away from all of them.
But it was really, you know, I thought it was really interesting. Some of the women had some fantastic swims. Like, Kat Matthews was probably further up than most people had expected. I'm sure she knew she would be there or wanting to be there. You know, we knew Lucy Hall would be out front. But yeah, the big names are there, and it kind of almost came down to, well, most names were there in the mix that we expected to be. Taylor Nib obviously just dominated, ran away with it, but super impressed with Kat Matthews, really excited about what she's going to do, not just Kona, but the next few years. Obviously excited about what Taylor can do in Kona as well. Like, potentially.
Potentially
could be win on debut in Kona, debut Ironman, youngest. I need to confirm if she'd be the youngest.
To be clear, Sid doesn't have some secret information here. Taylor is on the start list by virtue of having 170.3 worlds last year, and she has accepted that start. She has not decided if she's going to take it or not yet. And I don't think she's not just like being, I don't think she, I think she was waiting to see how this all went. She has not decided.
Yeah, I think so, but I wouldn't be surprised to see her there. Like, I, from what I've heard talking to a few people, her passion is in Ironman. That's where her like heart of the sport is. To many of us, it seems a bit weird with the Olympic year and the chance of an Olympic medal, but you know, if that's what she wants, you do you, exactly. Like, who are we to put our, you know, that's our projection, because I don't ever stand a chance at going to the Olympics, but I'd love to. And that to me is bigger, but you know, for her, it might be different. Anyway, and then Imogen Simmons, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, so good to see her back. And I think people were quite surprised. Yeah. I'm speaking fast now because I'm worried about 5 minutes. I think people were quite surprised about it, but we're like, hey, hang on. If you go back to Nice 70.3 Worlds pre-COVID, she finished third there. She's had a real rough injury. She had surgery on her hip, and yeah, she hasn't had an amazing year, but that's because she's come back racing. And if actually you look at the races that she's done this year, each one has just been that bit better, that bit better, that bit better. She raced Singapore. She was one of the ones, she raced on antibiotics in world, but she was probably one of the only athletes that actually backed up well from Singapore
Everyone got sick coming out of Singapore.
Everyone got sick coming out, which then obviously with the men's race as well as missing some names, because I think Nice being so close, some of those names that came over from Singapore were sick. And so that kind of like a Jason West, it would have been fantastic to
Jason
see
West,
race. Christian, Sam,
Christian, Sam,
Aaron. Yeah.
It's if you go around on the Instagrams and you like look at who,
on the gram,
and you look at who had a stomach bug and who was at Singapore. Yeah, there is some alignment, which I don't know why, but there is. So in the men's race, I mean, we'll
women's race was awesome.
Women's
great.
Race is awesome.
Lots of good names up there. Some great performances. Men's race.
Right. So got taken out by Singapore flu. And all of a sudden we have in the top 10, like names I didn't even know.
I think there's one name on there that I'm not familiar with. The rest of them I have heard of, but I would hands up, and this is no disrespect to the guys, I think they did a great job and they deserve to get those results obviously on the day, but I wouldn't have picked. The only one I probably would have picked is Freddie Funk. I think he was kind of that the one that you'd probably have put in the mix there, you know. But the rest of them, like German Queens clean sweep, all super young guy. Actually, I forget how young Freddie Funk is as well.
Rico Bogan's like 22.
Yeah. Someone was saying Freddie Funk's younger than that. I thought he was older, but anyway. Jan Stratmann. It's just like this next generation have just took the opportunity with, again, those big names not being there, some of the athletes focusing on Nice. And
they got in a bike group and they biked away, and
and it was a very European race, which is kind of different to the women's. I think it was the same similar result to what we'd have seen wherever that race would have been, if it'd been St. George or whatever, whereas I think we saw a very European, obviously clearly if you look at the top 10, but a dominant European.
There is a style to European racing, which I think we will see a lot in Nice as well. But that brings us to, we have to talk about the imaginary white line.
Ooh.
Ooh. So Lionel Sanders got DQ'd, posted on Instagram. It's been a hot topic. Everyone's talking about it. He got DQ'd for crossing the center line.
Yeah.
Except he crossed it in a place there was no center line. And so he got DQ'd for crossing an imaginary center line. And apparently the road was also closed. It was one way.
I've heard it was a full road close, which I think is great. It should be. It's a world championship. Every race should be, but I know that's not possible. But world championships should be. It goes back a little bit what was discussed at the pro meeting. And also, if it's a closed road, does the center line rule still apply? And then if there's no line, then how do you judge that? Now, I again heard mixed things about maybe it wasn't particularly dangerous.
Right. I heard he passed it anyway. Corner.
Maybe it was a corner, but again,
closed road.
And then you see, yes.
You see on the broadcast other athletes visibly passing the white line. And so that becomes this whole like, wait, clearly this applies to some people and not to others.
Yeah.
And I get it. So, like what we saw was the cameras, the refs might not have been there at that point. Like
totally
true.
It's also where we've been saying with Iron Man, you should have a ref in the broadcast tent or whatever tent in the broadcast truck, whatever you want to call it, to see the broadcast and to see penalties. And then either they can communicate to the TO on the ground to be like, get up there, or they can issue on from broadcast, you know, like what's it called in football? The VAR
virtual. Kind of thing, yeah, we don't have that yet in triathlon. It's not a thing.
But you know, I think it was actually Didi. I don't want to take her suggestion. I think it's Didi's been saying like we should have a technical official in the broadcast truck, whatever you want to call it. I do also find it hilarious that the commentators talk as if they're in Finland, and it's like, you're clearly not in Finland, but that's fine.
You're like, I saw you at the pool in Boulder yesterday.
There's no way you got to Finland. And I saw you between the two races. There's no way you're in Finland. Let's just not pretend we are. You've got a team in Finland on the ground. That's fine.
Like, that's funny. I mean, there's a lot of like, you know, whatever. This is the age of the internet. And where there's a lot of like trying to figure out where people are and what they're doing and interpreting and all that kind of thing. But it was pretty, I mean, one, yes, the women's race is great. Very exciting. Two, yeah, I think you're right. The men's race played out like we're going to see in Nice in 2 weeks, even though it'll be very different names in 2 weeks. It was very European style.
I reckon it could be a French 1-2-3 in Nice next week.
Yeah, it's possible. If Sam Laidlaw gets over his illness.
Yeah. Although I think Jan might have something to say about that. I think Jan might be on the podium. I'd like to see him on the podium.
Yeah. He knows how to race in Europe.
He does.
The Americans are going to do terrible in Nice. I just like, I even though I love all the Americans and we all know I'm very pro-American and I like all the guys, this was my first thought when they announced Nice as the Ironman. I was like, oh my God, the Americans did terrible at it when it was 70.3. Like on the whole, obviously some individuals, but it's not our style of racing. Like we don't know how to take those descents.
Yeah. And they said, so you go back to the center line, that's going to be really interesting. And I hope they bring it up at the pro meeting in terms of, you know, we saw at 70.3 Worlds, I think Rudy von Berg going down on his aero bars down that descent all over the road.
And he's our great American hope for being able to descend.
And I get that. Yeah. But like, what is the rule? Because if you want to descend safely down that, and it should be, I fucking hope it's this closed road on that descent. But if you want to descend safely, you should be able to take the road to be able to take the right corner. Or alternatively, you've got to slow down enough to take the corner in the lane. But what is the ruling going to be? And apparently, I think talking to an athlete who's over there at the moment, there isn't a center line on that descent
either.
No,
there's not. No, I've read
it. So, you know more. So, you know, what is that ruling?
Well, there isn't in some places, but there's also little towns that they're not going to be able to shut down and cars pulling out. So it'll be, we'll see how it goes. I rented a bike in Nice so that I can go and scope it all.
I just want everyone to be safe.
Yeah.
Please be safe.
Yes. Speaking of safety and finishing up our 6 minutes here, Super League started this past weekend too in London. Obviously, it's always
I'm not sure on that tight link between
speaking
safety.
Of safety. I feel like I think of Super League as the NASCAR of triathlon.
Okay, all right, yeah.
It's like always crashes and fast and people falling.
Yeah.
And I, you seem to be actually understanding it this year. There are basically geographic teams.
Yes. So this is my very brief understanding, but I've not read into it. And I know we're already over time. They've reshuffled the teams and there's four teams and they've done it more on a geographic basis. So there is a predominantly British team. There is a US team there. And then I get a bit confused because there's the Bahrain team and the Centara Tech team. And it seems like each team has got an independent sponsor coming in to help fund it. So what we saw at the weekend, it was in London. I mean, the crowds looked amazing. I think they do a fantastic job of getting spectators and stuff there. But it was a fairly dominant display by the British team, which are the Sharks. I mean, I think on the women's side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top 10 were the British team.
And on the men's, it was Alex and Johnny.
Alex and Johnny won, yeah. Which is great. Again, great to see Johnny up there because I think he's had a bit of a rough year in Olympic qualification and stuff like that. But they were very dominant there. Now, maybe depending on, maybe now this is where team tactics comes in, I think, and the value of the team manager. And as they move on to the next location, whether that is that. I mean, it was the women's race basically from the swim, the front pack was five, in fact, the six or five or six of the British, the Sharks, Taylor Spivey and Jenny LaHare. That was kind of it. Who are the other teams? So I think that's how they've done it this year. I'm not sure how the Bahrain and the
nobody knows. It's not knowable.
But there is a British, predominantly British. There's a US team and that sort of thing. So yeah, this is now the Super League. What is it? One race, you know,
season.
every weekend kind of thing for the next.
They are spreading them out because they're going to sprinkle because Ponte Vedra's in the middle, and then Malibu's like 2 weeks before Kona, and they don't, and then they're having the last one after Kona. I only know that
because it is brutal. It is brutal racing. I mean, you say it's only short and it's done, you know,
but it looks it's like the kind that I most don't want to do.
Yeah. I do like the fact now though that you've seen because like on at the weekend it was swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run. And then like for like half the lap of the run, they've got their swim caps and their goggles on ready to go. And then, and now also there's a change. They still have the short shoots and that's all complicated. But now the team managers can reset up the athletes' transitions whilst they're during the race. But that's quite tricky because if you've got all your seven, well, however many athletes, five athletes at the front, like the Sharks did, she didn't have time. Give me Stu Hayes, team manager Michelle Dillon. She didn't actually have time to get the athletes set up done properly while they're in the water because it was so quick, and because all of her athletes are at the front. Whereas if they're kind of spread out,
see, this is actually just going to become a Super League podcast now. So
yeah, that's it. We're done. Anyway, okay. No. What are we on? 7 minutes, 8 minutes. All right. Too long.
Well, that's all that happened this past weekend. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about Nice a little because I'm headed there. And go get your training in, Sid.
And we'll do. And we'll do.
Okay, here's my question. Ready? Should Taylor Nib do Kona?
So next year, because she qualified. So they give a free slot, right, to whoever wins 70.3 Worlds.
And she's on the start list for this October right now from last year, 70.3 Worlds.
So she could do it next year, too.
So she could the talk is about whether or not she should literally do it this October. She is on the start list from last year's 70.3 Worlds win. And she was, like, waiting to see kind of how Paris went and how Finland went and everything.
Wow, I didn't know that she would consider that.
She is considering it. She is. That's why she's on the start list right now.
Interesting. I wonder. I don't know. I mean, clearly she's got more talent than I do, but I wouldn't do it before the Olympics, but you know, hey, she knows her body better than
I mean, else. I'm super impressed about like her whole foot injury. So she had a broken foot, which makes me hopeful that my broken foot will heal up amazingly, just like Taylor Nib's, and then I can go on to world domination too.
It's exactly what's going to happen, Jocelyn. Yeah,
I like it. That, you know, that is the correlation there. Like, absolutely, broken foot, world domination. I would say there's a lot of downside, not a lot of upside. No, honestly.
No, I know. I just thought it was funny because it was that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She has a long career ahead of her. Why rush?
Why rush?
Well, because she just qualified for next year's Kona. Or no, it's in Nice though.
It's in Nice this year, yeah.
So she qualified for next year's women's Nice. So yeah, I do feel like it's a little risky, like if she gets hurt in like building up, especially coming from that foot injury. Like getting your mileage up for Ironman training is quite a bit more than 70.3. Depending on your coach, sometimes
depending
it's the same.
On who you are, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say like, I don't, it's not like I have, this is all like public knowledge, right? Like she's like said, she said, we'll see. I'm thinking about it. And unlike like a lot of people are saying like what you, right? Like this, that's like, you have plenty of time. You're 24 like, or 25. But, you know, she's also like, she's established that she's going to do what she wants. So, you know, she's gonna do what she wants. If she wants, like, if she wants to race UCI next year with Trek, like, you know, it's up to her. You do.
That's
you.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she does it and, like, wins.
Yeah, that, like, obviously the part that I'm hung up on is, like, Coda as your first Iron Man. Like, that used to be more of a common, but now that's, like, nobody does that anymore. You can't, really.
Well, you can't. Yeah, because it's so hard to qualify with a 70.3 now, where it used to be more common when there were less races.
I was at one of those China races where they were trying to, like, grow the sport in China. And so it was, like, one of the 70.3s where they had spots for Kona. And, you know, the 18 to 24 age group. Mm-hmm. Basically, this, like, 19-year-old girl's like, okay. And you could see she was like, holy shit. Like, now I have to figure out how to do Iron Man in Kona.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny. So. But did you guys watch? I mean, 70.3 Worlds was like midnight for us, or 9 p.m. for me, midnight for you guys. Did you guys watch any of it, or like watch it later? It's.
I tried to track some of it because I had a couple of friends doing it, TNC and Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did not wake up in the middle of the night because of that amazing Pillar Performance Magnesium that sponsors this podcast. Sleeping hard. But as soon as I did wake up, I checked on Instagram right away to see Taylor Nib and Rico Vogan crossing the finish line, grabbing the tape.
Obviously, the big news coming out of it was the big news is the winners. But then the in the weeds triathlon controversy is the whole getting DQ'd for crossing a center line that isn't actually on the ground, right? So Lionel Sanders, with the crossing the center line that was an imaginary center line, is causing a lot of controversy. And here's my question. So have you guys ever been DQ'd in a race? You got weird penalties?
DQ'd is like, I've had a drafting penalty in like a big age group field where it was hard not to.
Sure.
But DQ'd is pretty severe.
I've just gotten penalties for like random bottles popping out and, you know, like don't even notice. And all of a sudden you're like, what? Littering penalty? Like there were railroad tracks. I didn't know I lost that bottle.
Right. That littering one always seems like, really? Yeah, the unintentional.
Yeah. So I've never gotten anything like that. Yeah. Like for crossing the imaginary line.
Imaginary line.
I've never gotten a penalty, but I have been DQ'd because of my kit.
Really?
Yep.
I got.
Do they tell you at the beginning or at the end after you've gone?
They told me after the race was over that I was DQ'd, but I protested to the head official, and by the end of the race, I was reinstated. But the funny thing is, I went over to where, you know, the officials were, and I said, "Hey, I'm in an approved kit," and I forgot the comment that the guy made, but it was basically like he said he didn't care.
Really?
And then the funny thing is the head official came over and he knew me from another race. He was like, "Hey, Khadija, how you doing?" And the guy who DQ'd me and was all snarky when I came up to him, his whole face dropped, his whole persona changed. I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" I was like extra nice. "How you doing? It's good to see
you." Wow.
What did he say was wrong with your kit?
He said it was a wetsuit. I said, "Clearly this is not a wetsuit." I was still in the position where I had to present my kits to the race director to prove that I wasn't getting an unfair advantage. So the race director and the head official had already seen my kit. They knew I wasn't getting an unfair advantage. There was no compression in my arms or below the knees. I mean, just all kinds of stupidity. And then this guy's like, "She swam in a wet." So I was like, "No, I didn't." I said, "You can look at, I don't care who said what, blah, blah." Not a problem. So I stood right there and he asked me what I was waiting for. I said, "I'm waiting for the head official to come." He's like, "Well, you're DQ'd. It's not going to change." Okay.
I do think, like, it does seem to me, like, I appreciate that, like, you know, the majority of officials are doing, like, what they, like, are not
sounds
out
like
to
a
get people.
Power trip.
Yeah,
though.
But I was going to say,
yes,
I do think it's weird when some of, like, how much power is in the hands of, like, one random person sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what always seems like a little crazy.
Yeah. So But I mean, now it doesn't matter. The at least for USAT and WT, the rules are changed. So that's not something that anybody who races covered, whether it's because of their religious beliefs or because they have skin issues, they can race fully covered. So it's not an issue anymore. Ironman, it's an issue, but I'm not worried about that.
Apparently USAT is also changing the rules though. I talked to like their, so that you, cause they used to have the rules where you wouldn't only find out later and you were like after, and now they are changing it. So they do it in like the same as Ironman, the same as like we're all used to, where they show you a card and tell you like during, as opposed, which is like a lot better, I think. Yeah.
Hmm. I like knowing too, cause then I like to know which one of my competitors already has a card.
Sure. Sarah's shaking her head.
No, just to play devil's advocate, the downside is if they've improperly given you a card, like that can change the outcome of the race.
Yeah, that's
so. Yeah, like I would almost rather have like at the end 2 minutes subtract, you know, added to my time.
But here's my other question, though: if they've It totally can change the race, which is the argument for why it should be served during, right? Because then, like, the people who are, like, drafting shouldn't get the benefit and then, like, right? But then, don't you have the choice? I thought at a pro level, you had the choice to, like, not serve it and appeal it. Or do you have to serve it? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's true. You can
there was, like, I don't know. Obviously, if you don't serve it, it is an automatic DQ. So then you'd have to, like, really fight it.
You got to know you're right. Yeah.
Because I had a friend who straight up got a penalty. You know, they write down in their book like the number and some little description. And they clearly had written down the wrong number because the description was like, man. And this, she's like a woman, right? Like it was not her. And like they were like, well, it's your number. And like it took forever to like be like, no, this is like literally not me. Like you're just like, this kid is not mine. The colors, like what you wrote here is not me. But that's pretty much the only time I've heard of like penalties getting overturned, if it's like literally not you. Otherwise, like they don't get overturned.
Well, and it just seems the frustrating thing is that these rules are not being equally enforced. You know, they're saying, I mean, I haven't seen that the live stream had other male athletes crossing the non-imaginary center lines without any penalties.
And how do they know where the line is? I mean, really? I mean,
well, the imaginary center line, right? That's the funny part. But to Jocelyn's point, there were people on camera literally crossing the white line. But and I get this, Jocelyn, like it's not like the TV broadcasters are the refs, right? Like they can't give penalties. The refs weren't there then. So
yeah.
So
it just, so then are they looking around and making sure the officials are not around when they cross purposely crossed the center line?
Apparently, because I've been talking to a bunch of USAT officials lately for a story. Do you want to know what the two most common rule violations are, though? Like in the US, I got like just not like
crossing the mount line.
Nope.
I would say drafting and littering.
Headphones?
Buckling your helmet.
And unbuckling your helmet or not buckling your helmet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those are like the two most common. Because the majority of people come from running, and running, they're like used to wearing headphones, right? Like that's just like a regular person.
I've never been able to run with headphones. It just totally messes up my rhythm.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm so short, I'd probably have to be listening to like Alvin and the Chipmunks for it to be in sync with my cadence.
You're like, yeah. I do it for really long, boring runs, you know, but that's it. Or the treadmill. I actually realized this at one point when I was doing a bunch of treadmill that like I was definitely damaging my hearing. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my hearing is all messed up.
Or like just add this to the list of things I've messed up from triathlon.
That means you're ready for more children. You can zone everything out. I can. Yeah. You can literally, as long as nobody's bleeding, I'm just.
Oh man. All right. Before it gets super random, Sarah, what's your random question this week?
Not super random. Okay. In the first triathlon that you ever did, what was the bike you rode?
It was a Cannondale Cad 8. Gray and
what color?
And black, you know? It was a friend's bike. You know what I mean? Like, and she had like, and she was like, oh, you can have it. And it was too big for me. But I was convinced that it was not. And it's
great. I still have mine.
I borrowed my brother's old bike. Oh. It was like a size 46 frame. That was like a, I think it was a Bridgestone road bike with like down tube shifting. It was, did not fit properly. And I didn't know how to shift gears.
I didn't have to worry about gears. Awesome. I rode an $89 red, black, and yellow fixie from Walmart.
Woo! Awesome.
So mine was, it's actually still on my wall here. It's a 1999 Specialized Allais M4 Pro, which is Specialized aero. It's the road bike with aero tubing that I think like Peter Reed raced in Kona on. I got it my freshman year in college and spent all of my Chinatown scholarship money on it. Because I was injured. I was on the track team and I got injured. And so I spent all the money in my checking account.
Oh, yes. Bike. You want to know how I... That was Jocelyn. The first bike I bought, like we had a deal with like the local bike. Anyway, it was like $700, which was still way too much money for me in college. And I paid for it. And then I couldn't pay rent. And I was like, oh, no. And then I won bingo. And I won $500. I won $500 at bingo. And that is how I paid my rent that one. Oh, yeah. It was a sketchy place. And they paid me in cash. And as soon... And it was like one of those places where like... We ended up there on accident. And it was like... Anyway, we were like, oh, shit. I'm going to get shanked in the parking lot for this cash.
She said shanked.
Oh, I was like definitely...
She's in prison.
No, it was that kind... It was that kind of place. You got shaked at that kind of place, all right? And so we were like, we have to get out of here now. So yeah, that's how I bought my first bike I bought.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm just glad, like, so I finished high school. I was 17 because I have a late birthday. And so I had to open up a joint checking account with my mom. And I'm just so glad that back then they didn't have those, like, spending alerts that go to, like, your parents when you, like, make this, like, a fraudulent-looking purchase. Because it was, like, nice. I think it was, like, $1,400. And it's, like, lime green, beautiful. The one that was, like, a step down that was $800 was, like, mirror orange. And I was, like, no.
Absolutely not.
This green one is beautiful and... I will one day do a triathlon on this. But, yeah.
Amazing. How could you, how did you end up on a city bike?
I mean, I didn't, I grew up in New York. I never had, my first bike was, I bought it a week before my race. I grew up with tokens. I'm aging myself now. I didn't even have a MetroCard token.
Oh, yeah, I remember tokens.
I ran track and swim. I never owned a bike. So I was just like, yo, that's what the messengers ride. It's good enough.
I never owned a bike. Yeah.
Oh, commuter bike, right?
So, yeah. But it was, I don't know if you've raced in Georgia, but it was a little bit hilly. It was only 18 miles, and I think it was like 600 feet of climbing. Yeah, my quads were fried by the time I was done. And then I was like, yo, they have, what is everybody? Oh, they have gears. Oh, yeah. By the end of the summer, I had a bike with gears. Yeah.
And you just saved the other one for like, you know, your barista. Like coffee,
I still
shop
have
rides.
It. I'm like ride if I ride, I'll ride to because the Walmart by my house is not far. I just ride to Walmart.
And what do you buy that you carry back on your fixie?
You could
Walmart.
Get another fixie at Walmart.
I mean, just you know, aspirin. You know, if I'm just running to go grab something real quick or whatever, I'll ride it. But
I guess, yeah.
You're such a hipster. I had no idea.
It's crazy. Yeah. I left it in Cuba one summer. I used it like for transportation when I was there. Because sometimes trying to, you know, get from place to place is hard sometimes. So
if any listeners have some good first bike stories, we definitely want to hear. Because that was a random question that had surprising depth to it. Bingo, go figure. You can make lots of money doing that. Almost. Almost shanked. Well, thank you for listening to another week of If We Were Riding. And next week, we get to hear all about Khadija's marathon swim coming up. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.